Let the church say amen. Amen. We say amen again. Amen. We are blessed, those of us who have been able to make up this small assembly. We are blessed to be in the house of the Lord this morning amongst the saints and on the time side of life. We hope, trust, and pray that those who are able to come into this worship via live stream or Facebook or conference call that you are in the mindset to worship our great God. For God is worthy of our praise. There's many things that we spend our time doing that are not worthy of our time. There are many people that we allow to take up time in our life that are not worthy of our time on the grand scheme of things. But God is worthy of our praise. And so we are thankful that you have been alive long enough and have been in the right mindset to say, you know, I need to designate this time to worship the Lord. And hopefully everyone in the house understand the submission, that we need to stop what we're doing, the games that we play, the movies that we watch, the bed that we're sleeping in, to get up on this day to worship the great God in heaven. You know, with being home all the time and school not being out, it's hard to know what day of the week it is sometimes. But we know that the Lord's day, we're going to get up at this time and worship the Lord. And we are praying for healing. There's a number of our members who are sick and shut in and recovering. We pray specifically for our minister, our great preacher, Brother Gary Smith, and we pray that his knee is able to heal properly, that he can come back and preach the word as it is set for him to do. We also praying for Brother Ray Wilkerson, who had a short stay in the hospital, but now he's coming out, and we pray for his throat and whatever it is, that God will be able to heal him quickly and expediently, that he can come back and serve at this congregation, this great Church of Christ here at Fifth Ward. And we are also thankful for a good time. I was not able to attend, but we congratulate Dennis and Cynthia Murphy on their oldest son, Joseph, being married just yesterday. The Bible says a man to find a wife finds a good thing and attains favor from the Lord. Well, hopefully they're doing newlywed things now, and it's a wonderful time of your life to take on a new bride and grow together. And we pray that they have a long, fruitful, happy marriage. And we want to thank God and find this example for all of our young people, to find someone that you can love, that you can grow in life together spiritually. Now, this morning, we're going to come from the book of John chapter 19, beginning at verse number 28. John chapter 19, beginning at verse number 28. If I was to give you a title to this lesson, it would be, "It is finished, but the consequences live on." It is finished, but the consequences live on. The Bible says in John chapter 19, beginning at verse number 28, "Later, knowing that everything had been finished, so that the scripture would be fulfilled, Jesus said, 'I am thirsty.' A jar of wine and vinegar was there, so they soaked it in a sponge, and it put it on a sponge on a stalk of the hyssop plant and lifted it to Jesus' lips. When he had received the drink, Jesus said, 'It is finished.' With that, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit." There's in our life, there's a cloud that hangs over. And we know that although we have great times together, that eventually we will die. The Bible says it is appointed unto man once to die, and after death, the judgment. And we understand that over the course of this time, there's something that we must accomplish before we pass on. And it is up to us whether we fulfill it or not. There's a serious tone in our life that although I may enjoy certain things, there's something that I must do before I pass on. And Jesus on the cross says, in one of the seven things he says on the cross, "It is finished." And it is translated into three words, but in the Greek, it is one word. The Greek word is tetelestai. And it translates, it is an accounting term. It means paid in full. Tetelestai. It means paid in full. So Jesus on the cross, knowing everything that was set before him before the foundation of the world, knowing that it has been completed. And it wasn't a random plan of salvation. It was a contingency plan that just in case man got off track, God had a plan for you and I. That if we messed up, he was going to send his son Jesus to die for you and I. Amen. And so this plan that Jesus fulfilled throughout the entirety of his life, started his ministry at age 30, but accomplished so much for you and I. But on the cross, there was nothing else left for him to do. And so he says, "It is finished." And on the cross, it is something that it was, if you were to climb Mount Everest, you would say, "It is finished." Tetelestai. I have done what I came here to do. If you are a graduate in 2020, you can say, "Tetelestai. I have paid in full all the grades. I have met the standard. I have come and completed what I came here to do." If I was to run a marathon, if I was to pay for my house, that final payment, I want you to say, "Tetelestai," when you send it off, "paid in full." And this is important for you and I. It was the most powerful thing Jesus ever said, in my opinion. Because at that time, it said it in a perfect tense, which means what was done then still have effects going on to this day. We understand it with death. Although a person is dead, has died, the effects are still affected to this day. They are still dead. And when Jesus said, "It is finished," he took my sin, he took your sin, and nailed it to the cross, that I bear it no more. And I can say, "It is well with my soul. It is finished." You can say it's finished. There's some things that you and I have done that we don't want anybody else to know about. And so if they do know about it, they bring it up. They have a conscious way of bringing it back up in our life. Never let us forget the mistake that we made. And I want to tell you here this morning, it is finished. There are some things that you kill yourself mentally on. You are bogged down. "I should not have done this." I'm here to tell you today, it is finished. It, whatever it is that's bothering you, that you've done, a sin that you've committed, if you name the name of Christ and been baptized for the remission of your sins, I come here today to tell you, it is finished. It is not hanging over your head anymore. The deed that was done is gone. If you've asked God for forgiveness, you need to let it go. You need to let it go and not let it plague the rest of your life. Because some things that we do, we let it hang over our lives and it's a dark cloud. And it halts our destiny. You need to have a destiny about yourself, young people. You need to have a plan in your life that there's something about me that I'm not going to do certain things. I'm going to complete the task that is set before me. I'm going to be successful. And so because of that, I'm not going to take drugs. I'm not going to drink alcohol. I'm not going to live a life disobedient to my parents. I'm going to come home. I'm not going to have sexual relations with somebody that's not my wife or my husband. I'm going to live a life obedient to God so that I can complete the task that is set before me, just as Jesus did, so that I can say one day, "It is finished. I've finished the course. I have kept the faith." You and I, we have a great many things to do before we die. And if we don't complete it, God is going to hold us accountable. And so I want you to take the first point, is that sometimes we go to therapy for it. We go to counseling. We're with our husband or wife and they bring it up. We're with our family members and they bring it up at the family reunion. We hold these things in our mind. And I'm here to tell you today, it is finished. Jesus, when he died on the cross, that sacrifice was God's plan for you and I to get over the sin that we have done. And if we repent of our sins, if we confess our faults one to another, he is faithful to forgive us
And we can leave that sin in the past. Stop hanging it over my head. Stop allowing it to cloud your days. It is done. It is finished. I will bring it up no more. But one thing that has happened on the cross, sin took a beating. But one thing that Jesus did not do was take away the consequences of your sin here on earth. The consequences for eternal life God gives you. If you remain faithful to God, there's heaven on the other side. But the consequences down here live on. There's some things that we can do, young people, older folk, wherever you are in your life. If you do it, God will forgive you. But the consequences live on. I'm talking about Tamir Rice, these young men, Trayvon Martin, Ahmaud Arbery, these men who have been killed in this country, and almost no recourse or justice. The consequences live on. I'm talking about young people who come to the hospital dead on arrival from overdose. It may be dead, the sin may be dead, but the consequences live on. I'm talking about suicide. You take your own life, a permanent solution to a temporary problem. It may be dead, but the consequences live on. And the family members that are left behind. A man that don't take care of his family. Leave the mom and the children alone. That sin may be dead, but the consequences live on. You may have had a child out of wedlock, and that child is here. God forgives you for the fornication. But the consequences live on. And you and I need to understand the consequences live on. It's been something that has been here for all time. Go to 2 Samuel chapter 12. And we look at a man after God's own heart. Now here it is. Nathan has gone to David and talked to him after he has taken Bathsheba and let him know the wrong that he's done. And so we're going to look and see just the principle that has been a constant throughout time. Bible says in verse number 7, then Nathan said to David, you are the man. This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. I anointed you king over Israel. I delivered you from the hand of Saul. I gave your master's house to you and your master's wife into your arms. I gave you all Israel and Judea. And if all this had been too little, I would have given you even more. Why did you despise the word of the Lord by doing what is evil in his eyes? You struck down Uriah the Hittite with the sword and took his wife to be your own. You killed with the sword of the Amorites. Now, therefore, the sword will never depart from your house because you despised me and took the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be your own. This is what the Lord says. Out of your own household, I'm going to bring calamity on you. Before your very eyes, I will take your wives and give them to one who is close to you, and he will sleep with your wives in broad daylight. You did it in secret, but I will do this thing in broad daylight before all Israel. Then David said, I have sinned against the Lord. And I want you to see that. He was humble enough to say, I have sinned. And he understood that he was the one that did the wrong. And Nathan goes into what God had said. I've done all these things for you. And God has done so many things for you and I. And yet and still we live in sin. Then he says, and still in verse number 13, then Nathan replied, the Lord has taken away your sin and you were not going to die. I love that. Although he's done a horrible thing, God has taken away his sin and God has taken away your and my sin. But the scripture says, because by doing this, you have shown utter contempt for the Lord, the son born to you will die. God took away David's sin. It's an important example because God will take away our sin, but the consequences live on. David wanted that child to live. David wanted that child to breathe and have life. And he shaved his head and he tried to bring the child back. But God did not allow that child to live. And so because of the sin, that David committed. Because of the sin, God punished him. He says, I've taken away your sin, but that child is going to die. And so you and I, here to this day, we see the principle that even a man after God's own heart can ask for forgiveness, but God still allows, I can take away your sin, but your consequences live on. What I'm saying to this day, young people, your sins were nailed to the cross if you name the name of Christ. But there's still some things you just don't want to do. We don't walk around with a license to sin. Should we continue in sin so that grace may abound? God forbid. How can we who are dead to sin continue to live any longer therein? You and I need to understand that just because I am a child of God does not make me immune or give me a license to live any way that I want to. That if I do this thing, I will be forgiven, but the consequences live on. And it is something that you're going to have to take sometimes to your grave. It is a hard truth. Sin got beat on the cross, but the consequences did not get beat. The Bible says in Galatians chapter 6, verse number 7, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. A man reaps what he sows, or whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap, in the King James Version. Whatever you sow, you're going to reap. So if I sow drugs in my body, if I sow alcohol in my body to an excess, if I sow these negative things, this pornography, if I sow this extramarital things or fornication, if I'm not married, if I sow these fleshly desires, there's going to be some consequences. What I am sowing, I will reap it. And it's important for us to understand this, because we live a life thinking that we're going to, because of delayed responses. God does not strike down lightning as soon as we sin. If that was the case, we would stop altogether. But because of the delay, there's a thinking in our mind that I'm going to get away with this, that punishment is not going to happen, that God has forgiven me and I've gotten away with it completely. But the consequences God did see, and it will come back and plague your life. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. What if I came and killed someone? Would I be able to receive forgiveness of sins? Somebody cut me off in traffic, and I get out of my car and I just go into them and I fight them and I kill them. Kill them dead. I'm a Christian. I'm a child of God. Lord, forgive me for my sins. And I go run to your house. Would you let me in? Would you let me? Brother, we brothers in Christ. Brother Barry, let me in. They coming after me. Are you going to let me in? And I hear Brother Barry, he say, no, sir. And that's the proper response. The reality is, brother, I love you, but I didn't go out there and kill that person. God is going to forgive you, but you go out and go to the jailhouse and sit there and think about what you've done, because the consequences live on. Just because you are a child of God does not immune you, does not make you immune from the consequences of your actions. There's some things that we are doing now. You may not have broken up your family now, but you are on the route to breaking up your family. There's things, it didn't just happen just now. You've been thinking about this for a while. There's things that you're doing that's in the turning point. It's rolling along, and it's going to destroy your family if you don't stop doing what you are doing. Whatever it is, you are destroying your future, young people, if you're not taking it seriously, the actions that you are doing, that you are continuing to do now, the things that you do on the computer, the places that you go where parents don't know about, that sneaky lifestyle is going to get you caught up. It may not catch you right now, but if you're going to have this sneaky attitude throughout your entire life, it's going to get you caught up. And one day, you've had your warnings. You've had your time to stop. But because you didn't get caught, you wouldn't stop. And God has to stop you to save your eternal soul. And there's things that happen that you can ask so many older folk. They have scars in their life simply because they did not stop. They went and they kept going. But I'm telling you this morning, whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Yes, it is finished. It is finished. Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse number 8, anyone who does not provide for his relatives, and especially for his household, Bible says, has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. I want you to understand that. I can go across and I can come out and do all the activities of the congregation. I can do a great many things. I can come up and lead prayer. I can come and serve and be up in front of the people as I would love to, if some people like to be seen. But if you're not taking care of your family, the Bible says you are worse than an unbeliever. And to not take care of your family, so you're going to be bold and not pay child support. You're going to be bold and not take care of your broken family. And you expecting to get blessed by that? The consequences will live on. And it may not come, you may still stay on your job and retire, but your child that saw you not be there will grow up as a man and remember your absence. And there's going to come a day where you're going to want a relationship with that child, but that child's going to say, you were never there. Where were you at my first baseball game? Where were you when I was sick? Where were you when I was hungry? Where were you? The consequences of not taking care of your family will live on. There are some things that you do in your life you can't take back. This word, watch your mouth. We're so quick to say what first thing comes in our mind. Watch what you say. These children will remember it. They remember it as adults, and they allow it to plague their mentality. Watch the words that you say. Tell them you love them. If you said some wrong things, you can't go back in time. So I'm not trying to make you feel bad, but I want you to change it. You can go back and say, you know what? Forgive me for what I have said in the past. Forgive me. And I want you to know that I love you. Tell your children you love them. Tell your husband you love them. Tell your wife you love her. We've gone past this age of hiding our feelings. We need to say how we feel while we have the time. And the healing power of just hearing that, I love you, can change the tone of the household. But we as men have to stand up. If there's not a man in the house, women, we have to stand up and be the leaders of the home, the spiritual leaders, so we can heal the brokenhearted. Now, I'm telling you, you do what you can. But God will add the increase. But we need to understand that there's things that you cannot go and expect to be blessed if you are not conscious of the consequences of your sin. Now, I'm going to skip a few points and get on to the last one, because I know I don't like a long sermon myself. Now, here it is. Jesus is on the cross, and it is finished. And we understand that at a certain point, he did not want to. There was some apprehension, especially towards the end, about doing this, about letting the cup pass from. The Bible says in John chapter 9, go to John chapter 9, verse 1 through 4. John chapter 9, 1 through 4. The Bible says, as he went along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Now, see, the disciples understand that sometimes things happen in your life because as a response to sin or the consequences of sin. And so they have this mindset. But Jesus says, neither this man nor his parents sinned, said Jesus. But this happened so that the works of God might be displayed in him. As long as it is day, we must do the work of him who sent me. Night is coming when no man can work. And I want you to say, I must. I want you to just say, I must. Every morning when it's time to get up, I want you to say, I must. We're going to get to I must. The Bible says, go to Gethsemane. Matthew chapter 26, verse number 39. Going a little further, he fell on his face to the ground and prayed, Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me. Yet not as I will, but as your will be done. And Matthew chapter 26, verse number 42, he went in again and prayed. He went away a second time and prayed, my Father, if it is not possible for this cup to be taken away unless I drink it, may your will be done. And so I want you to say, I want you to see that Jesus asked God to take the cup from him. God, I don't want to have to do I don't want to have to complete what I've started. I don't want to finish. I don't want this cup of the suffering that's right before me. But he did it because God did not say, okay, you don't have to do it. Jesus could have called 10,000 angels, but he submitted to the will of God. And what I want you to know to this day, that you must do what God has said before you before time is gone. I must complete this task. I must plead this case. I must teach this Bible class. I must preach this sermon. I must provide for my family. I must forgive and keep going in this marriage. I must do what God has set for me. I must keep a good report. When it's time to get up and you don't feel like getting up as a man, I must get up. That is something that we have to do and complete the task God has set for you. Maybe your only purpose is to provide for that family. And if you die young, you've done what God has set for you to do, and you can say it is finished. But if you're still here, there's still work for you and I that we must complete. I must cook for these kids. Who else is going to cook for them? I must. Whatever it is God has set for you to do, you're going to have to complete it and complete it to its fruition. You're going to have to go all the way to the end. Be thou faithful until death, until the point of death. And then you will be able to receive your crown of life. Young people, older folk, there are some things that we have to complete. There's some sin that is in our life, and we need to not have it in our minds. We need to know that God has taken it to the cross and taken it away from us. So we're going to stop in our families bringing up old stuff that somebody else has done. We need to stop doing that. It brings us down. It destroys our self-esteem. It destroys our children's self-esteem. We need to know that Jesus said it is finished. And when Jesus said it was finished, it was finished then, not just then, but for all time. That if I've been baptized for the remission of my sins are forgiven over and over again. But it doesn't give me a license to sin. I can't continue to live in sin. Matter of fact, I need to stop so that the consequences don't end up hurting me in this life and the life to come. If I've been baptized and I'm still living a life of sin, God can forgive me if I ask for forgiveness. But if I stop asking for forgiveness and purposefully live a life of sin, I will not be able to make heaven my home. I need to live the life worthy of my calling. I need to make my calling an election sure. And I do that by living the life that is set before me. I must preach this sermon. It is set before me to do so. When Gary comes back, he must preach. That is his job. That is what God has set before. You may not be a preacher. Whatever it is that God has set, you must do. And you get tired, but do not grow weary in well-doing. Do not grow weary. Sometimes you get tired. We all get tired. We must make that sacrifice. And in doing so, we'll be able to hear his voice say, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many." Church, let's be better. Let's forgive ourselves. Let's forgive others. Let us leave it and say it is finished. So it is on the cross, never to bring back up again. I am forgiven. But also, since I have been forgiven, I'm going to live a life worthy of the calling. And now that I know that I, although I've been forgiven, I can still end up in jail if I kill somebody. I can end up divorced if I cheat on my wife. I can end up fired on my job if I don't come in on time. I can end up without the things that are not promised, or the things that I've worked for, if I'm not doing what I'm supposed to do. Sin's consequences was not taken away. And so you and I must live a life worthy of our calling and stop the consequences in our life. A lot of times we bring on these problems in our life, things that we've eaten our entire life has brought our health problems. And so just because I'm a Christian doesn't mean I can eat any kind of way. And I can bring trouble in my life by the decisions that I've made, the lies that I tell myself and others, the cunningness, the backstabbing, the secret messages on Instagram and Facebook, the lies that we tell one another, the lies that we tell our parents. This life has consequences, and we can fix it eternally if we live a life faithful to the Lord, being baptized for the remission of our sins. And I ask you today, if you've tuned in and you're not a Christian, you can become a Christian by hearing that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. By repenting of your sins, confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and be baptized in water for the remission of your sins. And you can lay heaven as your eternal home. That's my message this morning. We want to be prayerful. We want to be mindful of all those who are dealing with this virus. We want to live a life worthy of our calling, that if this virus takes us home, we can say it is finished. It is finished. I've done what I came here to do. My sins are paid in full, and I'm going to live a life worthy of the calling so I can hear his voice say, well done. That's my message. If you hear the stumble, if you stand subject to invitation, you can come as we together stand and sing for your encouragement.
I'll leave it there. There's a fountain tis for you and me, let us say, stow hey.